if I just want to listen to some good music, I turn on WBAI, Free Speech Radio, 99.5 FM here in New York City. I'm urging you to support WBAI. Call up and make your contribution to this great radio station today. WBAI, and so we carry on.
WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Coming up next is Ecologic with Ken Gale, Sally Gellert, and Donna Stein.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. It be paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on promoting the earth and telling where we're gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna cry. For Mother Earth, makes me wanna cry. For
solar power, ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Welcome. Glad you can join us for Ecologic. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. This is Ecologic for Wednesday, February 14th, 2024.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Our guests today are Dr. Courtney Williams from Westchester Alliance for Sustainable Solutions, and J.V. Valladolid from the Ironbound Community Corporation. But first, we'll talk about a pause in LNG export permitting, Taylor Swift's jet travel, pending New York State bottle bills, and a turtle event. Why is it that when there seems to be good news, we always have to stop and take a deeper look? In a rare move in opposition to the fossil fuel industry, Joe Biden has stopped issuing new permits for liquefied natural gas export facilities, at least until new environmental reviews are done. But it gets exhausting. Some of the big greens are implying that this is a permanent, but it is at most conditional situation. Like almost all of Biden's environmental acts, it's another temporary hold, not a ban. In fact, this comes after Biden has given the green light to more fossil fuel projects than the previous administration. So can we trust it? The temporary, at least partial victory that environmentalists are claiming is based on an announcement that came just before a planned 3 days of action outside the Department of Energy to include as many 250 arrests daily. Apparently, the threat worked for now. And of course, the action can be put into motion if the reviews continue to disregard the potential effects on climate change. Now, both houses of Congress are holding hearings, and Bill McKibben reports in UK's The Guardian on how lame the industry arguments are.
And as we're reminded by industry insider expert Toby Rice, who owns a company that produces more natural gas, that's methane, than any other in the country, and ignoring the entire fuel cycle when he says a fracked gas power plant creates less emissions than a coal-fired power plant. And so what? coal is already on its way out, and solar or wind energy win the emissions race hands down. We watchdogs will have to stay alert, especially after the election. If Biden wins, he can easily give the oil companies whatever they want. Trump certainly will. We really would like to believe, but we have to watch politicians' long-time record, not just the things they say. According to data analysis by Robert Warren Howarth, a professor of ecology and environmental biology at Cornell and one of the world's premier methane scientists, sending liquefied natural gas on a long ocean voyage means massive leaks. And the U.S. public is not interested in fracking our country to sell cheap gas overseas anyway. On future episodes, we'll bring you environmental review results.
We were alerted to a few New York State bills a couple of weeks ago, and we've discussed all but what was called the Bigger, Better Bottle Bill. New York has had a bottle bill for years, but there are two bills in the legislature that would improve it. Sorting through the details is complex. Yeah. It's legislation, after all. But it seems that both S-4947 and S-237B, the latter amended twice, hence the B, are needed. Each includes a list of bottle types to be included in the program, and to be really complete, we need both sets. The bills also include discussion of refund fees. 237B mentions a deposit and redemption amount of 10 cents with a 6-cent handling fee, and 4947 increases the refund value to 10 cents, allocating, quote, additional state revenue from unredeemed beverages to the Environmental Protection Fund and bottle redemption centers, unquote. We have links to both on our site and encourage you to check them out and contact your representatives.
Fox News almost made a good point about Taylor Swift's flight to see Travis Kelce. In news that mixes pop culture and right-wing politics, Fox News doesn't have a clear idea how to diss Taylor Swift without admitting to the cause of climate change. It's actually pretty funny. Yes, Taylor Swift's private jet creates a reprehensible amount of carbon emissions, and yes, she does try to offset that with twice as many carbon offset credits as required, which are largely ineffective. But in trying to vilify the pop star, a self-made billionaire, influential, popular, left progressive, they could not bring themselves to say why the carbon emissions are bad for the climate. And please, Taylor, find a way to make it make sense. How about funding a giant project to combat CO2 rather than buying worth little carbon offset credits? How about using that influence to partner with someone who is doing energy efficiency projects? You're creative. Use that creativity to fix the problem. In a related story, all the airports near last Sunday's Super Bowl in Las Vegas ran out of space for private jets. They only had 1,000 slots.
Oh. Aw.
Think about that. That was an enormous amount of greenhouse gases that was generated. Flying is one of the most, if not the most, environmentally harmful means of travel. Private versus commercial planes all use very polluting jet fuel. All in all, ground transportation is a better choice. Some folks are pledging to avoid flying entirely, to do a flight-free year, or to fly infrequently, emergencies, family events only.
Bill Steele's song, Garbage, was a folk music standard in the 80s and 90s. Here is Pete Seeger with a verse that he added. Feel free to sing along with the radio.
Mr. Thompson calls the waiter, orders steak and baked potato. He leaves the bone and gristle, and he never eats the skin. The busboy comes and takes it, with a cough contaminates it, puts it in a can with coffee grounds and sardine tins. And the truck comes by on Friday and carts it all away. 1,000 trucks just like it are converging on the bay. Oh, garbage, 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 garbage. We're filling up the seas with garbage, garbage, garbage. What will we do when there's no place left to put all the garbage? Mr. Thompson starts his Cadillac, winds it down the freeway track, leaving friends and neighbors in a hydrocarbon haze. He's
joined by lots of smaller cars, all sending gases to the stars, there to form a seething cloud that hangs for 30 days. And the sun licks down into it with an ultraviolet tongue, turns it into smog, then it settles in our lungs. Oh, garbage, 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 garbage. We're filling up the sky with garbage. What will we do when there's nothing left to breathe but garbage, 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 garbage? Getting home and taking off his shoes, he settles with the evening news while the kids do homework with a TV in one ear. While Superman for the thousandth time sells talking dolls and conquers crime, dutifully they learn the date of birth of Paul Revere. In the papers there's a piece about the mayor's middle name. He gets it read in time to watch the all-star bingo game. Oh, garbage, garbage, garbage. We're filling up our minds with garbage. What will we do when there's nothing left to read, and there's nothing left to need, and there's nothing left to watch, and there's nothing left to touch, and there's nothing left to walk upon, nothing left to talk upon, nothing left to see, and nothing left to be but in Mr. Thompson's factory, they're making plastic Christmas trees complete with silver tinsel and a geodesic stand. The plastic's mixed in giant vats from sun conglomeration that's been piped from deep within the earth or strip mined from the land. And if you question anything they say, why don't you see? It's absolutely needed for the economy of garbage, 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 garbage. Their stocks and their bonds, all garbage. What will they do when their system goes to smash? There's no value to their cash. There's no money to be made, but there's a world to be repaid. Their kids will read in history books about financiers and other crooks, and feudalism and slavery, and nukes and all their knavery. To history's dustbin they're consigned, men with any other kinds of garbage.
That was Pete Seeger singing Bill Steele's Garbage.
Now we welcome our guests. Please introduce yourselves. Courtney?
Hi, everybody. My name is Courtney Williams. I am from Peekskill, New York, and I am the founder of WAS, Westchester Alliance for Sustainable Solutions, working to shut down the dirty trash incinerator in Peekskill that burns all of Westchester County's garbage.
And JB?
Hi, good morning. My name is JV. I am JV of Valladolid. I'm the frontline communications manager with the Ironbound Community Corporation environmental justice team based out of Newark, New Jersey.
Thank you for being on Ecologic today. And tell us, what is so bad about incineration? It used to be touted as this savior of the environment, but it ain't. Courtney, we'll begin with you.
Okay. I tell people, remember the three P's. So incineration is bad for people, for the planet, and for our pocketbooks. So it's bad for people because of the emissions. It generates a lot of air pollution. And as a cancer researcher myself, the science is really clear that even legally allowable limits of air pollution are harming our health. And along with that, you know, we've got the particulate matter, we've got lead, cadmium, all kinds of other things with known acute and long-term health effects that are coming out of these incinerators. So that's why it's bad for people. It's bad for the planet because it's a massive source of greenhouse gas emissions. And especially if we get organics like food scraps and yard waste out of the garbage, when it's in a landfill, it generates a lot less methane. So what people used to think as being that methane factor used to be why people thought incineration was better than landfills. But as the science becomes more clear, we see that it's really not. And I think the message there is stop making garbage, but But yeah, so that's why it's bad for the planet. It's bad for our pocketbooks because it's really expensive. You know, these incinerators are expensive to maintain, expensive to build. And then, you know, that's not even accounting for all the hidden costs of the health problems that it causes people. And people think there's no waste afterwards, but there's a lot of toxic ash. And the first 4 million tons of ash from the Wheelabrator incinerator in Peekskill was actually dumped in our watershed, in Peekskill's watershed. So we have the risk to not only our environment there, but also our health. So three P's, people, planet, pocketbook. It's bad for all of them.
And Jamie?
Yeah, I'll speak from, so coming from Newark, we have the largest garbage incinerator of all of New Jersey. And that means that we're getting garbage from several dozens of municipalities outside of Newark being chucked in by the hundreds into Newark every single day. And all in all, it's several hundred thousands of tons of garbage being chucked in, and over half of the garbage coming in is actually coming in from New York City and being burned right in our neighborhood, less than a mile away from the nearest school, home, park, whatever it may be. So there are just a few things that are absolutely garbage, and incineration are causing a lot of health issues. And then there's the day-to-day experience of frontline communities, people that are closest to living next to these facilities against their permission and consent, really, is like potholes, smell, just the debris that comes from everything. There's definitely the health outcomes that come with it. So in Newark, for example, one out of every four people will be diagnosed with asthma. And that's besides a lot of other health issues that are experienced from just being exposed to incineration.
I remember hearing Kim Gaddy from Clean Water Action saying how she got started as an environmentalist because she lives in the Ironbound. Three of her children were diagnosed with asthma. They have, you know, not only a bunch of incinerators, but also crematoria.
Yeah. I think for our listeners, maybe you want to explain what the Ironbound is. It's
absolutely. So Newark is broken up into different sections according to the direction of the wards. So there's the North Ward, South Ward, Central, East, West. And in the East Ward of Newark, there's a community called the Ironbound. And a lot of folks actually, if you've ever experienced it, you know it for really great Brazilian food. I don't eat meat, but I remember it's really good Brazilian food, Portuguese barbecue, beautiful restaurants and cafes. However, once you get past a couple of those really beautiful blocks of businesses and nightclubs, et cetera, you get to really, really underserved, underfunded community. It's the East Ironbound, and it's a community closest to heavy industrial zoning. And so for the past 50 plus years, community members have been actually really engaged in environmental justice fights. And they've been fighting against this incinerator that was proposed in the community. It was proposed in several different counties throughout New Jersey. However, the only counties or neighborhoods that got stuck with an incinerator was Newark, Camden, and Rahway in New Jersey, which are the most low wealth Black and brown communities in the Ironbound specifically. We are determined by the environmental justice law of New Jersey as an overburdened community, pretty much just saying that we are a community that's segregated by our income, by our racial makeup, and also by our linguistic isolation. In the Ironbound, I mentioned that Brazilian and Portuguese food, our main languages are English and Spanish, Spanish being first, then Portuguese, then English as the language is most spoken in the community. So it's a beautiful neighborhood. I love Newark. I'm from Newark. But however, we have been a sacrifice zone and a dumping ground for a lot of industry for several decades.
And I want to praise the Ironbound Community Corporation. Your folks have been on Ecologic many, many times over the years. Ecologic's been on BAI since 2002. And somebody from ICC has been on very often. One time I subbed for the morning drive show, and somebody from Ironbound came in from Newark to New York at 6 in the morning to do the whole show live. I can't say enough about how wonderful your group is and how effective you have been. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. A lot of the work that we're doing now is just a continuation of, I mentioned that Garbage Incinerator was proposed now 30 plus years ago. So I won't share exactly how old I am, but that may be around or older or younger than my age. So there are folks that have been protesting, organizing, honestly, a lot of parents in the community, a lot of foreign-born parents, people of different immigration statuses that have been fighting these issues before environmental justice was even like a trendy topic. And so I find it really interesting. I grew up here my whole life and really wasn't exposed to anything. When I thought of environmental justice, I thought of honestly like a white person on a mountain hugging a tree or trying to scream about saving the whales, all those things I personally love and do care about. However, it's not until I got older and I actually was working in reproductive health education for several years, and I started to realize all of the health issues that I realized a lot of my loved ones and neighbors were experiencing are very much likely caused by all these things. New Jersey has this stereotype of smelling bad, and it does, but it's really not our fault. It's just a lot of racist policies.
Right. I know that's a major issue for us, for you, Courtney. You're muted.
Peekskill has a lot of the same issues. So we're a majority minority community. We have a large immigrant population. We have a lot of folks that speak Spanish or speak other indigenous languages from wherever they've immigrated from. And our incinerator is 40 years old. And so I will age myself. I am older than the incinerator just by a little bit. And, you know, even back then when it was being constructed, the residents opposed it and didn't want it there. But when you have a community that's, you know, struggling economically and they have the option, you know, this carrot is dangled that jobs will come and pilot funds for a tax base and things like that, leaders exchange the health of residents for this tax base and this promise of jobs. And so I feel like we were really, I think our leaders at that time were hoodwinked into accepting this. And I mean, I am a firm believer in know better, do better. And so at the time, I think that a lot of people did think incineration was a better solution, but it is panned out. It is most definitely not. And now the residents of Peekskill are facing a health crisis thanks to this pollution.
You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Ken Gale.
WBAI needs you. Our buddies keep us on the air, and it's easy. Just a few moments of your time right now lets us know that you care about the environmental news, information, and entertainment that Ecologic brings you each week.
Ecologic's BAI buddies are listeners who contribute regularly, month in and month out, so that we can be sure that there is enough money to pay our bills each month. It doesn't have to be much. $10 a month is just 33 cents a day. But more is really appreciated if you can. And it really helps us. Call 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org.
If you want, you can send a check or money order for your membership or premiums. Mail to WBAI Radio Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217. And now back to our guest. Courtney Williams from Westchester Alliance for Sustainable Solutions and J.V. Valladolid from the Ironbound Community Corporation. Explain how the incineration of today is different than the incineration of decades ago.
Should I take that one, J.V.?
All right, go ahead.
So I think a lot of us will remember, you know, 40 years ago. So the trash incinerator in Peekskill just turned 40. And 40 years ago, plastics were not the ubiquitous thing that they are today, right? So we got our soda in glass bottles. You got your groceries in paper bags. You know, they're really what your sandwich was wax paper. And now everything is plastic everywhere you turn. It's really hard to not generate garbage, plastic garbage every single day. And so that, I think, is one huge difference between then and now, which is that what we're throwing away is very different. And we need to remember plastics come from fossil fuels. They are not, you know, a naturally occurring product. And so while, you know, most people might think of burning the trash as, you know, it goes away, it doesn't go away. It's just burning these, like, essentially manufactured fossil fuels and turning it into air pollution for people to breathe and into toxic ash that then some other community has to breathe. So Westchester, we are, our ash from our incinerator, it goes to Putnam, Connecticut. That's another community that does not want this, that is being harmed by this. They are being harmed by this byproduct of incineration. And I always say, I am not in the business of making environmental justice communities. I do not want to be dumping my problems on other people, other communities, and making them suffer. And so, and I know a lot of people feel the same way. Like in Westchester, a lot of people don't realize that their garbage is being burned in Peekskill. And when they hear about it and they realize that it's happening, that the health effects are there, they do not want this solution. And in the case of Westchester County, the air permit to pollute that the incinerator holds is issued to the Westchester County Industrial Development Agency. And the incinerator itself is operated by a contract with Wind Waste. So this is really a government, like, community solution that we came up with 40 years ago. And it is time for our community to say, we don't want this solution anymore. And similarly, I don't think a lot of people in New York City realize that their garbage is going to the Ironbound and that they're having the same effects on that community. And when people realize it, you know better, do better. They don't want that solution. And so 40 years ago, it might've seemed like a good idea, but we know now, after, you know, two generations of Peekskill residents, high incidence of low birth weight, babies being born, very high rates of asthma. Our rate of asthma is 60% higher than New York State as a whole. Wow. And so, you know, these are health effects. We've got higher rates of emergency room visits for heart attacks. These are all things that the science has linked directly to air pollution. Mm-hmm. So we really need to change this. And I think as people learn and realize, they want alternatives.
I can look at incineration being different just from my personal experience, to be honest. Now that I have become more informed about what is this monster in our community that is, you know, over 30 years old and we never wanted in the first place, I've seen the community become active politically around environmental justice. Like, even within the short amount of time that I've been specifically working in environmental justice in Newark, for me, speaking as a Newark Native person of color, you know, a first generation person translating my whole life for my family, the last that I remember in middle school was we passed the Clean Air Act, and that was in our history book. And I was like, great, so we're covered. And that's very much not the case.
Right.
Our incinerator has over 800 at minimum air permit violations on record. Some of what Courtney has mentioned about what actually does get burned has now become really important to me and has become a part of what we're thinking about in terms of policies in the future that can hopefully actually protect communities like ours. There have been several instances of pink and purple plumes of smoke coming out from our incinerator, which the joke is always like, it's the worst gender reveal party ever. But it's a very scary thing for the community to experience. And it took a very long time for our incinerator, Comenta Essex, to respond by saying that they believe that it may have come from unregulated medical waste, specifically iodine and all of the health impacts that can come from inhaling that. Folks that were driving on the highway to get to work over Newark, we're reporting this pink and purple plume. And it's still, again, this case of environmental justice from that vision of somebody on a mountain hugging a tree is very different now to me, because it's actually community members who are breathing this in every day and may not even know about it, because there's not really time in a community where people are just really working to survive to have these conversations about how many air permits did this place have? When is their next public hearing to see if they renew their permit? What time is it and can I make it? It's really difficult to do that. So some of the things I would just say are different are also how I think of the messaging. One thing in our community, when we have young people to older people coming to our urban farm, is conversations about compost, about alternatives, right? About how we're able to divert and starve that beast of the incinerator to hopefully get it to shut down, on top of trying to think of policies that can move us away from incineration, even starting with reducing the amount of plastic that's produced, because that's just a second wave of fossil fuel life. We know that recycling isn't the answer. It's not something that really actually happens. Less than 6% of all plastic is actually ever recycled. And so we're thinking about policies complementary to the Environmental Justice Law of New Jersey that just says that if you are an overburdened community anywhere in New Jersey, a community that has way too many polluting and harmful facilities, that for the first time ever, the Department of Environmental Protection has the right and the power to say no more facilities if they're applying to build a new one. As simple as that is, it's still tricky, and it still took over a decade to try to get that language actually passed and actually put into effect. And we're still actually waiting to be able to fight some facilities with that. So I would say the messaging has become different, and hopefully the options are more real. Like, what are the policies that we can actually enact to shut down our incinerator?
Yeah, I think the Ironbound is in a tough position because they're burning New York's waste, and they're not New York voters. So, you know, it really is imperative for New Yorkers, the whole state, to get involved and say, you know, just like that we don't want to send our garbage to our neighbor. And so for listeners, I urge you to go to Beyond Plastic's website and look up their New York is not disposable campaign. New York is not disposable. And you will be directed to very specific action items that you can take to urge our New York State elected officials to pass critical legislation that will not only reduce our plastic waste, but also take out some of the worst, most harmful chemicals that are in it. So that is really, WASS had our Zero Waste Task Force meeting last night, and Senator Pete Harcum, who's chair of the Senate's Environmental and Conservation Committee, he was on talking about that legislation. We need to get this passed. And so New Yorkers, we do not want to be sending our garbage to Newark. I know certainly Westchester County residents don't want to be sending it to Peekskill. We can take a huge chunk out of what is getting burned and starve the beast, as JV said, by reducing this plastic that we generate, because we are not recycling our way out of this problem. We need to stop generating the garbage, and plastic is a huge chunk. And, you know, a lot of people need to remember they put that recycling symbol on stuff that is not recyclable because they put a number inside of it, and you're supposed to know which number is recyclable and what's not. And so, you know,
five.
Yeah, I call it wish cycling, where you like see, you're like, this is a plastic, I'm going to put it in the recycle bin. And it's not actually going to get recycled. It's going to go to an incinerator in all likelihood. And WASS, actually, we were contacted last year by investigative journalists from ABC News. And it turned out they were doing an investigative journalism piece on plastic bag recycling. And they put trackers in plastic bags and then took them to the store and put them in the recycling bin in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And they tracked where the trackers actually wound up. They put 40 trackers in plastic bags. Two went anywhere that they could even possibly get recycled. The other 38 did not even get anywhere near recycling. And one of the trackers, it was was put in a recycling bin for plastics at a Target in Newburgh, New York, and it was brought to Peekskill and it was burned in our trash incinerator. So this is, you know, and this is someone, you know, people are doing their best. They're spending their time like sorting their garbage, rinsing their plastic, you know, collecting their plastic bags and then taking them to the store to put them in the recycle bin. That stuff's not getting recycled. You know, we need to stop making it in the first place. And I try to remind people, making garbage is not a personal moral failing. We are living in a system that relies on it. I generate garbage, but every single thing I throw away, whether I'm at work or I'm at home, I know I'm going to wind up breathing it because it's coming to, you know, it's going to be less than a mile from my house when it's burned. And we need everybody thinking like that, that either they're going to be breathing it or someone else is going to be breathing it. And then you need to invest. Like I tell people, go like, great. Like I'm using my reusable coffee cup today and I have my metal straw and whatever, but I'm not solving this problem with a reusable cup and a metal straw. We cannot fall into the trap of personal responsibility. Okay. Like you can be one of those people that writes a book about generating no garbage for a year. You're not saving anybody. Don't waste, in some ways, it's a waste of time. What we need to be spending our time on is system change, not personal change. You know, like we need to spend, like, don't kill yourself going for, you know, trying to search online for the only reusable doohickey that you can find. Spend your time online, emailing your elected officials, reaching out to the Senate and the Assembly to get these bills passed. Reach out to your elected officials in Westchester. Tell them you don't want incineration. You want a different system for your waste. That is how we get out of this, is by changing the system, not by changing our own personal habits.
It's great to live your values, but the system change is really what needs to happen.
And that's part of our values, changing the system.
Yeah.
System change, not climate change. That was one of the battle cries of Occupy Wall Street. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things JB said about the pink and purple smoke, and it's medical waste. So people are breathing medical waste. Is that happening all over the country? People are breathing medical waste?
Yeah. There are incinerators specifically just for medical waste as well, which is, I think, why JB said that was unregulated stuff, because I don't know if Covanta is allowed to be burning that stuff. But there's, and you have to watch, sometimes they also hide it. They call it pyrolysis or advanced recycling. They have all kind, or biochar facilities. There are all kinds of names that they give it, kind of like clean coal or natural gas, right? It's all the greenwashing marketing scheme for this stuff. And we need to really be wise to that. And thankfully, New York State, in the legislation that I'm urging people to call about with the New York is Not Disposable campaign, is not allowing that stuff. It is not allowing advanced recycling and pyrolysis, because that is another false solution, just like clean coal.
And like incineration isn't bad enough, when plastic is burnt at a high enough temperature, it becomes dioxin. So now you're breathing dioxin. It's just insane. It's like it goes away. Oh, it doesn't go away.
Need to remember, like, these incinerators are only required to test for a small number of things, and you only find what you're looking for. So if you only have to test for the 11 things, you only know about the 11 things, and you don't know, they don't test for PFAS. They don't know, like, they're not looking for anything and everything that comes out.
And you're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Sally Gellert.
When you choose to become our Ecologic BAI buddy, you are giving us a reliable source of support that we can depend on, just as you can depend on WBAI. We are here for you all the time, and you'll be helping to ensure we stay here. Just $5 or $10 a month, more if you can, enables people to listen wherever they are, in our listening area and beyond, thanks to the internet, From people driving on I-95 to a nurse in Denmark to people away from home who want to hear a familiar voice.
WBAI needs to reliably know that the bills will get paid. The best way to do that is to get more BAI buddy pledges. But any donation, anytime, helps us in a big way. Remember, tell them you're donating in the name of Ecologic. Just go to give2wbai.org and put eco-logic in the search box to choose from our premiums. Or call 212-209-2950 to make your donation today.
Now we'll take one or two calls to Courtney Williams and J.B. Valladolid at 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. While we're waiting, we want to let you know about Sunday's meeting of the New York Turtle and Tortoise Society, featuring Anthony Perleone, Vice President and Senior Director of the Turtle Room. The group meets this Sunday, February 18th at 2 p.m. at Prime Produce, 424 West 54th Street, New York. Link is on our website.
424 West 54th Street. That's Midtown.
Yep.
And again, that number is 212-209-2877.
JV, did the plastic ban help lower the volume for the incineration at all, or, you know?
I mean, it's still going. There's so many things I wanted to bring up as folks are talking. The dioxin mentioned is one thing that we've also been dealing with for over 30 years. We have a history of Agent Orange manufacturing in the Ironbound that once it did shut down, it ended up in 17 miles polluting our Passaic River waterway. And so that's something that we've historically had to deal with, a Superfund site. And one thing that we're currently dealing with is the proposal of a fourth fossil fuel power plant being brought into our community, despite the environmental justice law being pushed through. And so this fight against the incinerator is something that I think of it as like our poster child of environmental justice fights. However, there are so many things that do come up that take up a lot of our energy as well, which is also why we're grateful. We're a part of a national coalition, the Climate Justice Alliance, that helps group us with a lot of other environmental justice organizations throughout the country, some of which, for example, Baltimore and most recently California have been able to shut down their incinerator. So we're taking lessons from them as well, and it really helps us out as we're fighting everything else.
Great. And we have one caller on the air. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, he left.
Oh, no.
Come on back.
We were getting there.
Do you have a question for Courtney Williams or J.B. Valladolid?
Yeah. So one other thing I just thought would be really cool to mention is that most recently, I did mention I learned about the Clean Air Act when I was in middle school, that since 2006, this is the first time ever that the EPA is proposing updates to the Clean Air Act. And so that means that there's going to be, hopefully, fingers crossed, some more regulations around the different kinds of co-pollutants that are coming from these facilities, and meaning that there will be stronger standards around that permitting that's allowed. And so that's something that a lot of people may not be aware of, and it's something that everyone can get involved in. There's going to be a public comment period. That means that people can really get involved. When the environmental justice law was holding a public comment in Newark, we had over 300 people show up and give over 2 hours of public testimony. That's how much boring policy to us actually really matters.
We'll keep everybody appraised at when those public hearings happen.
The caller is back.
Welcome to Ecologic.
Hello. Yeah, you really do a very nice show, and thank you for...
Or the caller is teasing us.
Our callers come and go. Right.
No, I hope you make I'm glad you make okay. aware of these...
Michael,
things.
Is he there?
Hello. Hello.
All right, you're on the air. Speak up.
Oh, okay, great. Great. No, I like your show, and thank you for doing a great public service and making us aware of what's going on legislatively, especially in Westchester there. That's pretty creepy. And I just want to take this opportunity to...
Speak louder.
I just want to take this opportunity of Black History Month to honor Black Kluge.
Well, you got nods from JB and Courtney.
Okay. So
okay. JV, is there anybody you want to honor in specific for Black History Month?
So I am just thinking of the different folks who are involved in environmental justice fights, who just so often, like, our team is all women or gender expansive people of color typically. And there are just some folks that come to mind. Like, you have had Kim Gaddy, that's representing the South Ward of Newark and really fighting for Newark in a beautiful way for environmental justice. And we have Melissa Miles, who's an amazing friend that I've been able to learn from in environmental justice, who is the director of the New Jersey Environmental Justice Alliance and partners very much with the New York Environmental Justice Alliance. So just some folks that I know of, just shout outs to amazing folks.
Yeah, Melissa's amazing. And we have another caller, 212-209-2877, and you are on the air. Speak up.
Is it me?
Yes, yep. It's you.
Okay. On the incineration, there was a movie around a few years ago, a documentary called The Plastic Ocean. And in that movie, they show a super furnace that's used by the United States Navy so that they're not put on the spot about dumping their trash in the ocean like it used to be. But it's almost like a little, it turns everything, organic and inorganic, into this powder. And then they, then they put it in the ocean. But if this technology is paid for with our tax dollars, it should be implemented for civilian use, because, you know, you can't just keep on filling the earth with garbage, and especially the plastic. So there is a science, and it can be done, but we're not. I wrote to my congresswoman about it, and I never got a proper response, but it can be seen.
Okay, I can see Courtney responding to your call. So.
Yeah, so okay, my worry with that is it is just, again, a form of incineration. And that ash that's generated, that's left over, it's not inert or safe, right? So it's going to have all the nasty stuff that was in whatever is burned, then concentrated down. And even things like microplastics and stuff have been found in that ash. So, you know, dumping that in the ocean is not good either. And I think that it gets at the crux, like, we cannot let ourselves get stuck in thinking that we're always going to make garbage. So the answer is not new technology to, like, you know, burn or rid ourselves of the trash. The solution is not to make the garbage. And I encourage people, it's kind of hard to find, but for New York State, they put out what the components are of municipal solid waste, and they break it down into categories. And for Westchester County, 90% of what we're throwing away, we can divert. So, you know, a huge chunk is paper and cardboard. We know how to recycle that. A huge chunk is food scraps and yard waste. We know how to compost that. Glass and metal, recyclable. Plastic, we need to stop making it. Textiles, Westchester County just launched a textiles recycling program. So, you know, 90% of what we're calling garbage is something that could be turned into something else. It can be recycled. It can be used as raw materials for a new metal can, et cetera. So, you know, it does seem, so I think, like, I would not support burning anything and dumping what's left over in the ocean. And, you know, really, as a community that has an ash pit in our watershed, it is very concerning. And just like those limits, you know, for air pollution, we have lots of stories of people's water being contaminated with PFAS and other things. Like, we can't just assume that anything is safe. And so I would not support using that technology on any kind of broad scale, because we know it's going to be producing greenhouse gas from the burning, and we know that what's going to be left over is not going to be safe for the environment. And it is a huge problem in the military with burn pits and other things. They are harming our service members and our veterans are being left with lifelong consequences because of that.
So sorry for the last caller. We don't have time. Oh, let me ask our guests. What one thing we always ask our guests is, what would you like our listeners to do? What can we do? And what are your last thoughts, JV? Yes.
Thank you. Yes. So like we mentioned, New York is receiving a lot of New York's garbage, not by the fault of New York folks who are producing garbage or even ordering from Amazon. It's just what comes down to a history of racist policies. And so with this fourth power plant, with this incinerator that is going up for permit renewal, because that is part of the legal process, these processes are always open to public comment. And one thing that we've really had a lot of benefit from is showing that this is not something that is specific to Newark, New Jersey. This is a nationwide and outside of the nation issue of communities that are burdened by environmental racism. And so if someone is moved by this conversation, is learning something that you haven't learned before, get involved, jump on a call, send in a tweet, an email, repost something on Instagram. For us, for example, we're most easily on Instagram at Ironbound Environmental Justice. And if you'd like to learn more about the incineration issue we're working or dealing with in Newark, there's njdirtysecret.com. That has a lot to do with subsidies and how these incinerators.
Repeat that website.
Sure. NJ Dirty Secret. And another way of just getting some context as to what's been going on in the Ironbound is to watch the Sacrifice Zone documentary. So pretty much that. This is an issue that's not just Newark. It is a Black Lives Matter. It is a poor people's issue. It is a reproductive justice, et cetera, issue. So thanks.
All right. And for Westchester folks, reach out to County Executive Latimer and the Board of Legislators. Tell them to shut down that trash incinerator and move Westchester to zero waste. And if you are anywhere in New York State, Google that New York is not disposable campaign with Beyond Plastics. And let's get those plastics laws passed so we're not sending plastics to Peekskill and Ironbound to be burned.
Well, it's time to wrap up. So thanks for joining us. For more information, go to ironboundcc.org. That's ironboundcc.org. And WASSPeekskill.org. That's WASSPeekskill.org. On our website, ecoradio.org, we link to a wide variety of environmental information, and you can find links to our previous shows as well. Look over the site. And if there's a show or news item for which you'd like to follow up or a news report, there is a clickable link near the top of the page, just under the promo meme, to email us. And please go to give2wbai.org to become an Ecologic BAI buddy or choose a premium.
Join us next Wednesday, February 21st at 10 a.m. as we discuss the tax on family farms. We love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please sign up for our email list while you're checking out ecoradio.org. And those of you on Facebook, please like our page. We're WBAI Ecologic, no dashes.
There are lots of ways to get involved at WBAI. Check the meeting section of the WBAI.org homepage for dates and times. And of course, we always need your donations. We need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment, upkeep, rent, pledging as a BAI buddy now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
We're always glad to have you with us for Ecologic, live or on the archives. This show will be on the BAI archives in just 5 or 10 minutes.
Our thanks to our engineer, Michael G. Haskins. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Thanks also to collective member Paul Pressendieu for helping produce this show. Thanks, Paul. And happy Valentine's Day to all your heart connections, family, friends, and loves. And happy Chinese Year of the Dragon. I'm a dragon. Yay. Join us Wednesday, February 21st at 10 a.m. for Attacks on Family Farms. We're usually here Wednesdays at 10 a.m. between Covert Action Bulletin and Living for the City. Check our website for details. Thanks for being our listeners.
See the sun, how bright it shines. upon the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So
scattering.
Parce qu'il faut taille, mais c'est pas pour taille dans la cool à caille. Le point de décision, c'est pas si fait pas.